Every day, God's bringing some wonderful music forth for his body. Let me invite your attention today to the Word of God, to the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. And I pray that today will be a word of encouragement for all of us. As I was reading this week, a very familiar verse. As you read the Word of God, it's all the Word of God, but there are parts of it at different times that just have special life in them. And sometimes for no apparent reason, just has life. And that's the way that's the way I search His Word for what I bring you on Sunday morning. As I'm reading in my regular Bible reading, if something has life to it, I'll jot it down. Sometimes I know that it's for a message. Sometimes I know it's for that particular upcoming situation. Sometimes it's in a given week, I'll have half a dozen things like that, most of them just go in a drawer, never to see the light of day again. But the ones that keep coming back day after day during the week are the ones that I know that He wants us to share. Now, I want to begin. This is not the verse that I want to concentrate on today, but it leads us into the subject, and it's from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and it is the 11th verse. The Apostle Paul writes to the Christian, all the Word of God is important to us, but among the most important portions of the Word of God are the letters to the churches. Because that is the portion of the Word of God that is meant for us directly and specifically. And that's why Paul's letters and the letters of the other apostles are so invaluable for us. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Christians ought not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. Satan has devices, he has schemes, he has plots and methods to his madness. As Christians, we are given sufficient light and sufficient illumination that we ought not to be ignorant, so that he can take advantage of us and through these various devices and schemes gain a victory over us. Now, I want you to turn your attention to the book of Galatians, and we're going to examine one of his devices today, one of his most significant and successful ones. And this would be Galatians chapter 6 is where we're going to pick this up. When you found that opening, just lay your hand upon it. Bow your head with me, if you will, please, and let's ask God to speak to us where we are today. Our Father, we approach your word not purely or simply as historic words, but as living words given by a living God to living people. These are the words of a father to a child. These are words of advice and counsel and exhortation and instruction that a parent would give to his children. So as we read them today, this is not just the Bible. These are the words of our God, the words of our Father. These are words of wisdom, words of warning, words of guidance and instruction, that Satan may not take advantage of us by his devices, that we should not be ignorant of how he works, how he has always worked, and how he is attempting to work in us in order to defeat your purposes and defeat our desires and gain the victory over us. So we ask you to speak a word of encouragement to us today, as well as a word of illumination and refreshing. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The verse that strikes me this week for us is the 9th. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Most of you can quote this verse. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't allow yourself to be worn out or worn down, Paul says. Because in time, in God's time, in the season that He has established, we will garner the harvest that we are waiting for if and only if we meet the condition, and the condition is that we don't faint. Now the word faint is a word that we don't use in this connection in our day. The word faint literally means quit. It means in its broadest sense that we don't relax, that we don't back off, that we don't stop doing what we're doing. If we don't quit, we will reap a harvest. In fact, that's the way the Living Bible renders this verse. Let us not get tired of doing what's right. God's been talking to us about doing what's right, hasn't He? It's never wrong to do right, and it's never right to do wrong. And we ought never to get weary, whether we see the results we anticipate and desire or whether we don't, that we don't ever get tired out of doing what is right. Most of us know what's right. We learned what's right from the time we were little tykes. Though our parents have been teaching us, our grandparents have been teaching us, our Sunday school teachers are teaching us, our school teachers are teaching us. We know what is right. The law teaches us what is right. The Word of God teaches us what is right. Let's never get tired of doing what's right. Because if we ever get tired of doing what's right, we will give the devil the win. We'll give him the victory. And we will be the loser. No matter how it may appear at the moment. I'm just tired of this or that, or I'm tired of this or that, or I'm just not putting up with this or that anymore. I'm not going to do this anymore. The Word of God says, don't ever get worn out doing what is right. It is always right to do right. Why is this so important for us today? Because this is one of the devil's most successful tactics. One of the most important devices he has ever developed is this one. Delay, delay, delay. If he can put it off and require us to continue to keep on keeping on, he can get most people to quit, and he knows it. Life is not a sprint. It's not a 100-yard dash. Life's a marathon. Success does not go to the fast, to the swift. It goes to the perseverant. The old tale that was told of the rabbit and the hare. Everybody knows that story, don't we? Oh, the rabbit was fast. Oh, he was so quick. But the turtle won the prize. Because the turtle was persistent. Oh, he was slow. But he wouldn't stop. He wouldn't relax. He kept up the pressure on that rabbit. The rabbit, he'd run so fast he'd get tired. He'd sit down by a tree, take a nap. But what was that turtle doing? He just keeping on, you know. He'd never get tired, never get weary. And when it came time to see who crossed the finish line first, it was the turtle, the tortoise, not the rabbit. Success in obtaining anything, whether it be in the Christian life or in the natural life, success in obtaining the prize is not in speed. It's in endurance. I watch this in the natural. I watch this in business. And I, many of you know that I made my living in sales and sales management and so on. And in selling, you always have the flashy guys. Those of you who are in sales, you've seen them. You know these guys. And they're just, they're world beaters. I mean, they can, we used to call them 90-day wonders. I don't know what they call them today, but we call them 90-day wonders or flash in a pan. Flashes in the pan would be the correct way to say it. And they would come in and they would just say, and they would just, oh, they just do terrific. 90 days are gone. And then you've got a guy who's just, he just, every day, he's out there, he's making his calls every day, he's making his presentations every day. You don't know if he's ever going to make it, but he's the guy who's with you, and he's the guy who wins the prize. We see this in life, in natural life, and we ought to understand the same principle works in spiritual life as well. Satan knows that he who quits first loses. If he can get us to quit, he beats us. As long as we are still engaged, we are assured of the victory. But when we give up, we have lost. Let me give you an example, again in the natural. In an athletic contest, say a boxing match. It's a brutal sport. Why they call that sport, I don't know. Because it is brutal. It's how bad can you bash a man's face in? That's the guy who wins. Now, as long as both of them are standing, and as long as both of them are throwing punches and defending against punches, the outcome is still up for grabs, isn't it? Any man can win. Isn't that right? But the minute one guy goes down and stays down, it's over, isn't it? And that's the way it is in every other aspect of life. And this is what Paul is saying here. Don't be weary in well-doing. We will reap if we refuse to relax, if we refuse to quit, if we refuse to get so tired, we give up. The devil knows that if he can delay, 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 he can beat most people. Let me give an example from Scripture. In the 10th chapter of the book of Daniel, there's a story of Daniel, a man of God, who was praying and he was seeking God and he had a question he wanted answered, and the question was, what do you have in store for my people, the Jewish people? Thank you, Jesus. And Daniel began to pray and fast one day, and he didn't get his answer that day. And the next day, he continued to pray and fast, and he didn't get his answer that day. And the third day, he continued to pray, and he continued to fast, and he didn't get his answer that day. And the fourth day, and the fifth day, and the sixth day, and the seventh day, and surely, if I don't have it in a week, I'm not going to get it. But on the eighth day, he's still praying and he's still fasting. And the ninth, and the tenth, and the 14th, and the 18th, and 21 days came and went. And an angel came. So Daniel, your prayer was heard the first day you uttered it. And Daniel, in his heart, we don't hear the words, but in his heart, we hear him asking, well, where were you? And the angel answers the unspoken question and says, your prayer, while it was heard on the first day, and I was dispatched that very day to bring you the answer, a demon spirit met me in the heavenly realms over the earth and fought with me and would not let me through. Now, suppose Daniel had stopped praying on the 14th day. See, Daniel had decided, I am going to get victory in this area. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast until I get it. Had he quit, that demon would have beaten him. And the angel gave him the information. Of course, we have it recorded here. We see it all around us. Persistence always wins. Whoever persists and stays in there will win the victory. Do you know you can outlast a person who is stronger than you are? Maybe better at you than you are at what you do, if you'll outlast him. You'll stay in there longer. You wives that are having difficulty with a husband, you can outlast him. You husbands that are having trouble with a wife, you can outlast her. You parents that are having difficulty with your kids, you can outlast them. Amen. Listen, this is where we live, beloved. Right now in our world, you go home today and pick up your newspaper and you will see an example of what we are talking about today. And let me just cite two of them that are in the news. One of them concerns a man by the name of Saddam. Everybody go, now, what technique is he using to win his victory? He knows he can't beat the United States. He cannot beat the rest of the world. He cannot beat all of the free nations of the world allied against him. In 1991, he found that out, didn't he? That no matter how many tanks he had, no matter how many soldiers he had, he could not beat the free world in alliance against him. But he's beating the world now. Why? Delay, 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 delay. I'm reading in the paper last night, just one week ago, we were going to bomb him into the Stone Age. Okay? We backed away from that. He agreed by letter he was going to do all of these things. Headlines. I'm reading in the paper yesterday, it's back on about page F18 or something, where he has refused now, less than a week has passed, he has refused to give the documents to the UNSCOM inspectors that he was supposed to do. It's an offense to the Iraqi people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you know what we will do? This will drag on for 3 more months, 6 more months, whatever. We will ramp up again. We'll send more carriers over there. We'll get some more soldiers over there. We'll get everybody nervous. We'll get mothers worried about their kids. We'll get the soldiers wondering whether they're going to live or die by tomorrow. He'll write another letter and we'll back off. And the day will come when he will do that and there'll be no reaction from the world and he will have won. Persistence always wins. Even if the cause is not just, persistence wins. Now, all Saddam is doing, he's simply acting like the devil. Because this is one of his most remarkably successful devices. Now, in another part of the paper today, you will read about another man who is using one of the devil's most successful devices, and that's our president. See, what he's just delay, 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 delay. That is his strategy, isn't it? And now what has he gotten? He has gotten the American people to say in polls that they don't really care about this. They just want it to all go away. Just leave us alone with it. Get this out of the news. Put this behind us. Let's move ahead. And now we have those who are in Congress who back in August, would have fried him. Now they say, we don't care about this anymore. Let's get away from this. Now you're going to have wickedness to win in the place of righteousness. Why? Because the righteous fainted. The wicked didn't faint. The righteous fainted. Are you listening? I mean, this is so clear, isn't it? Think about the issue of, I'm just taking things from, everyday life here. Think about the issue of liquor by the drink in Douglas County. I remember 15 years ago maybe, where a group of citizens called themselves the Committee for Progress. And they decided we ought to have liquor by the drink in Douglas County. And Douglas County was completely dry at that time. Committee for Progress. And the righteous citizens of Douglas County rose up and said, "We're not having this," and voted it down. And so there was no liquor in our county. So what did they do? They came back in the city of Douglasville. They said, "Well, we can't get it in the county. We'll come back again." We're not giving up on this. We're going to persist in this. We're going to get our booze. And they passed it in the city. 7, 8, 9, 10 years went by. They said, we're going after it in the county again. And a few years ago, they had another referendum. It was defeated. Bingo. Not a few years later, they come back again. This time, what happened? The righteous quit. Did you hear any campaign this time about against the liquor by the drink and so on in our county? Wore us down. Wore us down. 15 years ago, when they first did it, the churches rose up against that. The Christians rose up against that. The community rose up against it. Will not happen. Not going to have it. This time, not a whimper. Not a whimper. And I include me in that, and you and all of us in that. Now we have where we could have a bar across the street. See? Persistence wins. Think about your own personal situation. You don't rear children in a few weeks. It takes years, doesn't it? It takes years. You don't make a marriage on the honeymoon. Takes years. Takes years. Takes years. Very few marriages fail on the honeymoon. Now, the honeymoon may be a failure, but very few marriages actually fail on the honeymoon, if you're listening to what I'm saying. I mean, most people come back from their honeymoons still married. Now, you know Satan hates marriage. You know that, don't you? He hates it. He hates it. And so what does he do? He's not in it. He's not in it for speed. He's in it for endurance. And so he works over the years. He works with your kids the same way, trying to steal your kids from you, trying to destroy what you're doing in the life of your kids. In all of the important aspects of life, whether they be spiritual or social or personal or material, persistence always wins and quitting always loses. The quitter loses. The guy that hangs in there is the one who wins. Endurance, persistence, holding your ground against whatever opposition always pays off in victory. Why is that true? It's true because he said it's true. He said you will reap if you don't let down, if you don't give up, if you don't quit, and if you don't relax. Keep your faith in there and keep it strong. Story is told about Sir Edmund Hillary, who's the man who first climbed Mount Everest. He was defeated on his first attempt to climb Mount Everest, but just the attempt brought him great acclaim. And he was back in England. He returned to a hero's welcome. They had a tremendous big banquet, and behind the speaker's platform was this very large picture of Mount Everest photograph. And when he arose and everybody applauded, you know, Sir Edmund, he turned around and he looked at the mountain. And he said, Mount Everest, you have defeated me, but I will return. And I will defeat you because you can't get any bigger. And I can. Now see, that's the heart of a man that says, you may have beat me once, but I won't quit. You may have won a battle, but you're not winning the war. You can't get any bigger, but I can. You can't get any stronger. You are limited, Satan, by the words of this book. But I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. I can grow. My faith can get strong. I can become more firm in my confidence, and I can become more like my Christ, and I can gain the victory here because I can change. I can grow and I can increase. Blessed is the man, James said, that endures temptation, for when he's tried, he'll receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath reserved for him. Now turn with me, please, to the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And I think periodically we just need a message along these lines. I know I do. We just need to hear this, even though it's not new. I understand what I'm saying to you today is not new in any sense of the word, but we need to be encouraged from the Word of God and edified. I hope that you'll be edified and built up and strengthened by the things that we're sharing here. I think this is important to us as a church. As I'm speaking this today, I'm in my spirit saying, keep on doing what's right. Keep on doing what's right. Don't let up on doing what is right, for we will reap if we don't quit, if we don't give up, if we do not surrender. Now, we surrender to Jesus, don't we? We surrender all. We don't go to surrender to our enemies. Satan, shoot your best shot, Satan. We are not quitting. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, this falls right on the heels of the great testimony of God's Hall of Fame in the 11th chapter. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, do you know what the sin is that doth so easily beset us? I used to read that word and I read that passage and I think, well, it must be adultery, or it must be murder, or it must be theft, or it must be lying, or it must be some terrible thing like that. Do you know what the sin is that doth so easily beset us? Unbelief. It's unbelief. We don't believe God will really do what He said He will do, and so we quit, we give up. Paul says, lay aside the sin that besets us and run with patience. Now, the word patience here, I've expressed this to you many times in the past, this word patience literally means endurance. Let us run with endurance, with constancy, persistence, always the same, always the same, never giving up, always run that race with patience, looking unto, not unto our adversary, but looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Aren't you glad He didn't quit? He had opportunities, many, didn't He? One of the most dramatic, He had the opportunity to quit on Gethsemane, didn't He? His father never answered Him. He prayed three times. Got no answer. Silence. Good time to quit. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind, lest you succumb to the devil's scheme. What is the devil's scheme? The devil's scheme is to keep pressing, keep up the pressure, keep up the pressure, keep up the pressure until you do what? You get tired and you quit. That's his trick. That's what he does. That's his device. He doesn't have anything new. Remember what Paul wrote us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 when he said, that no temptation has come upon you save what is common to man. The devil doesn't have something new for you. He can go back there to his conference room in hell, and he can get all of his advisors together, and he can try to come up with something special for you, but he doesn't have anything that he hasn't already used on many others. That's all he's got. That's why it's important we not be ignorant about what he does. Lest you be wearied and faint in your minds, and remember, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You haven't shed any blood yet because of what you may be going through. Now, I want us to take a tour in the Old Testament just a moment. 2 Kings, if you will go with me there to the 13th chapter of 2 Kings. So I think it's important for us to decide. This is the will of God for me. This is the will of God for us. Remember, with regard to our church, for example, back in May when we went through all of that, I wasn't sure what the will of God was for our church. I didn't know. I mean, I had my own personal hopes, but I didn't know. The scripture doesn't talk about water of life. I didn't have a word that I could go to and say, well, I know this is what God wants for our church. I know now. And so I had to wait until I had the mind of God, till I had the word of God. I think it is important for us to find out what is God's mind on your situation, whatever that is, whether it's the church or whether it's your home or whether it's your business or whether it's something personal in your life that you're struggling against or whatever that situation is. Find out what the mind of God is and what the will of God is, and then make a quality decision, as Kenneth Copeland expresses it. A quality decision is, this is what is going to happen in my life. This is what I'm going to have, and I'm not quitting until it does. Second Kings chapter 13, beginning to read in the 14th verse. Now Elisha, the great prophet of God, the heir to the mantle of Elijah. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness wherein he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, now I should give you some background here. The nation was threatened by the nation of Syria. And this king was devastated with doubts about what was going to happen to him and to his country. You remember when a country was captured in that day, the king died. They killed the king. And so he goes to the prophet of God and he says, oh, I've got this terrible situation facing me. What's going to happen? And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. So the king is holding the bow and Elisha has his hands on the king's hands. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. And then Elisha said, shoot, and he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. This is the expression of what God's going to do for you. This is the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. And then he went further and he said, I'm sure that was good news to Joash. And then Elisha said, take the arrow. And he took them, apparently a group of them, several. And he said unto the king of Israel, smote upon the ground. Bang those arrows against the ground. And the king of Israel he smote thrice and stayed. Now what he did was he smacked the ground three times, and then he stopped. Now, Elisha didn't say how many times he should strike the ground. He said, just smite the ground. He hit it three times. The man of God was wroth with him. Elisha was angry. And he said, thou shouldest have smitten five or six times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. And Elisha died, and they buried him, and the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down, he touched the bones of Elisha. He revived and stood up on his feet. Now that doesn't speak to the subject this morning. It's just kind of a little vignette in there. But Hazael, king of Syria, oppressed Israel all the days of Jehoahaz. And do you know Syria is oppressing Israel today, aren't they? If you know what's going on in the Middle East, Syria is right there on Israel's north and east border, threatening them. The Lord was gracious to them and had compassion on them and had respect unto them because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and would not destroy them, neither cast he them from his presence as yet. So Hazael, king of Syria, died, and Ben-Hadad, his son, reigned in his stead. And Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, took again out of the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, the cities which he had taken out of the hand of Jehoahaz, his father, by war. Three times did Joash beat him and recovered the cities of Israel. And what Elisha said came precisely to pass. And essentially what Elisha is saying is, why did you get tired of spanking the ground with those arrows? You should have continued to beat that ground like you wanted to beat the king of Syria, and you would have utterly consumed him. But God looked at your heart and saw that you weren't serious, and you were worn out by the battle and worn out by the striking, and you're going to beat him three times, but in the end, he's going to destroy you. And that's what happens to us. We start out like the rabbit, and we wind up like the rabbit. We play second instead of first. Give me a solid turtle any day than a herd of rabbits, because rabbits are losers. Amen. Now I want to read you a poem about two frogs. Two frogs. Let's name the frogs. Anybody want to give these frogs names? That's too close to home. Two frogs fell into a can of cream, or so I've heard it told. The sides of the can were shiny and steep. The cream was deep and cold. "Oh, what's the use?" said number one. "'Tis fate, no help's around. Goodbye, my friend. Goodbye, sad world. And weep still, he drowned." But number two was of sterner stuff. He dog paddled in surprise. And while he wiped his creamy face and dried his creamy eyes, "I'll swim it a while at least," he said, or so it has been said. "It wouldn't really help the world if one more frog was dead." An hour or two he kicked and swam. Not once he stopped to mutter, but kicked and swam and kicked, and then hopped out via the butter. Now, it's interesting that a frog should give us a lesson today. Mama's explaining to her daughter. Yeah, that's beautiful when the light comes on. To watch the look come across the face. And so when you, the lesson is obvious, when you fall into a bucket of cream, you just keep paddling until it's butter. Yeah. Rather than just giving in and drowning. And the image here is so, I mean, it's hilarious, but it really makes the point that the frog that quit died. But the frog that continued to swim, the one that continued to wrestle, the one that continued to beat against the obstacles that had been thrown into his path or into what he had fallen, he was the one who came out the victor. And you can too, and I can too. We can in our personal lives, we can in our homes and our businesses and in our families, we can in our relationships, we can in as a church, we can come out on top too. But remember, the devil's device is to delay, 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 delay. He will delay the promise of God as long as he can. And what he is after is he's trying to wear us out and wear us down until we say, "Oh, what the heck? I quit." And when he hears those words, there is a celebration in hell. I'm waiting for the day for him when we see the wrath of God permanently and totally upon him. Until then, be not weary. Don't get worn out doing what's right, because we will reap the harvest if we refuse to let down and to give up. Let's pray. Lord, some of us today want to just make a commitment to not be quitters and to not give up, because we see that our enemy is he's just standing there grinning. He's standing there watching. He knows when we're tempted to quit that he's about to get the victory, that he's about to beat us, that he's about to triumph over us. But we declare, thanks be unto you, O God, who always gives us the victory in Jesus Christ our Lord. It is impossible for us to lose as long as the battle is still underway. And so we covenant with you today, Lord, to refuse the temptation to let down, to refuse the temptation to faint, and to keep on doing what's right, regardless of how much it hurts, regardless of the cost or the pain, regardless of what it requires of us. We refuse to be weary in doing the right thing. And we are confident that your word will not fail. Jesus said it's easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one jot or one tittle of the word of God to fail. And so thank you for the victories that are ours, Lord, the victories that we have already experienced and the ones that are yet to be ours, because your word is true. In Jesus' name, we give you thanks. Amen. Jerry, I want you to give me that last transparency, if you will. Everybody stand, please. We don't have the music for this, but I think we can make this without the music. Let's try it. How many of you know this song? That's good. It goes like this. I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit. Redeemed by the blood of Jesus, I've been loosed from Satan's pit. Jesus fought and he won the battle, then he gave it all to me. I cannot be defeated. I'm saved, I'm healed, I'm free. Let's try it again. I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit. Redeemed by the blood of Jesus, I've been loosed from Satan's pit. Jesus fought and he won the battle, then he gave it all to me. I cannot be defeated. I'm saved, I'm healed, I'm free. This is a good song for driving down the highway. I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit. Hey, I've been redeemed. What are you talking about, devil? I'm a child of God. I'm not giving up. I'm not letting go. Amen. If it's not butter yet, it'll be butter soon. Right? So when you find yourself in a bowl of cream, splash like crazy until it's butter. Amen. Don't forget the frogs. Well, share some of the love of God among yourselves, and then we'd be dismissed.